Okay, good vach, everybody. Always an incredible schus to be together. Straight from Shabbos Kodesh. To continue all the Kedusha of Shabbos into the Heilige Week. And to enter mamish moments into Shavuos Shechalbo of the Heilige Yontif of Purim. Before we begin, just to thank Naomi for always taking care that we have these beautiful accommodations to learn Torah together. Thank Eliza for making sure that everybody knows about the shir. It should be a big schus for your mishpachos for only simcha and bracha, Mir Tashem. So these are big days. These are big days. And we're preparing for a very big day. Hail Giyantav of Purim, Abalein Latayva, this upcoming Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Thursday night, Friday. First of all, just before any other words, you know, sometimes, as women, when it comes to a yontav like Purim, you might feel a little gypped. It's like a little more exciting sometimes for men. We have a little more chance to celebrate, whether in yeshivas, whether Purim sudas. Remember, the yontav of Purim is for men and women alike. Afhen hayu bosa anes. That women have to celebrate Purim on the same level of obligation as men. No different. And if it's a yontif for you, maybe even more so for you. After all, Esther Amalka, as we know, played a crucial role in the Geula, the most important role in the Geula. So it's a big yontif for all of us. And all the mitzvahs ayom apply to you the same way they do to myself. And to be able to have this chus to go to listen to the Heilige Megillah Thursday night and Friday morning, and to make sure that you give Matan Tov Yonim, sent out if anyone would like that I could help being a shliach. Sometimes that's something you have to prepare for. And give Shalach Manos. Obviously, this year it's a little bit of a shorter day in ways. So you have Deizu Chacham Haroas Anolad. We have to prepare to map out our day that we can make Kayim all the mitzvahs. Then Suda as well, to make sure that you can have a beautiful Suda. Whether that's a Suda, that you're going to have with your family. Or whether there's a Suda, maybe it's a good idea. Again, I'm not paskening COVID shilas right now. Everyone should do what they're comfortable with. And where you're holding, and everybody's at different places of whether you have antibodies, or had vaccine, or just comfortable either way. Or I'm not getting into that discussion, that debate, that machloikes. But what you're comfortable with, and where you're holding. To make sure you're going to have a Simcha Dika Purim, a Simcha Dika Suda. Again, whether that's with family, whether that's to get together with a few friends. I know a lot of the men, a lot of the young men, they get together in a beautiful suit. And you can't as well. And you can't as well. And sing together and feel the Simcha of Purim in a very beautiful way. And make sure, again, in whatever way everyone feels safe. And we're not discussing that right now. Publicly, for sure not. But that it should be a Heilige Purim, it should be a Simcha Dika Purim, in every way. And we need it more than ever. And it's going to be, and for each and every one of us, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. I want to tell you the opportunity you have, Purim. I want to share before I begin, just a Torah that I heard a few minutes ago at Shal Shudis, from Rabbi Yossi Spiegel. Just to start, because I heard this Torah, I'm tansing still from it, I have to share it with you, I could not. He said, from the Heilige Shem Shmuel, an incredible idea. It says the Gemara Megillah tells us that, and we see from the storyline, we could tell from the you read the Megillah, you could tell this is true, that Haman, in a certain sense, was ruling the country. You know, Achashverosh was like a little bit of a puppet for Haman. Even though Achashverosh was the king, but ultimately Haman was calling the shots. And he was controlling Achashverosh to some degree. He was stronger than Achashverosh even though he didn't have the Shem Malchus. He wasn't actually the king. And you see this in a lot of places. The Shem Shmuel says, you see even when Haman wanted at that point in the storyline to kill Mordechai, so his wife tells him, you're going to go tell Achashverosh, then I read them, I don't have right here, I didn't bring, but you're going to go tell Achashverosh the next morning that to kill Mordechai. Tell him to do it. Tell the Melech, you're going to do it. He's going to do it, whatever it might be. It doesn't say go ask Achashverosh because you don't need Rishus. You're telling the king because you're stronger than the king at that point. Obviously then, v'nahapachu. Everything was completely flipped around and there was big Yeshua, big salvation. And ultimately Haman ended up being killed on that same tree, as we all know. V'nahapachu. So Shemishmul says that v'nahapachu, in this storyline, originally the lower servants, Haman, was telling the king what to do. If a v'nahapachu on Purim goes so far that we as well, all year long, we have to come to Melech Malchei Melachim and we have to ask. All year long we have to daven. We have to ask for Yeshuos and Refuos and Shiduchim and Parnas and all that we're asking for. Shem Yishmul says, Purim, we can tell Hashem what to do. Purim v'nahapachu. So everything v'nahapachu. So Haman had that koach, now we get that koach. Incredible idea. On Purim, I could go and daven and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I want you to do. Not ask, tell. The famous idea really works into that famous Torah of Kol HaPosha Yad Nosen Lo, right? There's an idea on Purim that anyone who comes and asks for tzedakah, Kol HaPosha Yad, anyone who puts out his hand, you're supposed to give. Doesn't what amount you give is up to you, it's subjective to how much you have. All year long, you could do Drishus Hakira, you could decide whether you can help someone or not, and if you don't know if they need it, you don't have to, but on Purim, you're supposed to give everybody something. Anyone who asks. So Hashem keeps His own Torah. Kol HaPosha Yad, we put out our hand to Hashem, He has to give us also. He has to give us. So Shem Yishmol says, we could tell Hashem what to do. If the Shem Yishmol didn't say it, I would never say such words. It's a scary concept. It's the scariest thing to say. But what an incredible power of Purim. What an incredible day. And this is the day that we're preparing for together right now, Chevra. Right now we're preparing for this Heilig Yontif, that we're going to have such a koach, more than all year long. On Yom Kippur, you can't tell Hashem what to do. We daven. As we know from that Rizal, Yom Kippur is a little lower than Yom Kippur. So how could you get that koach? Where does it come from? Because I want that. I want that opportunity. We all want that opportunity. I'm sure every one of us sitting in this room is thinking to themselves, the things we would tell Hashem what to do. Right? Imagine the Chevra. You know, you saw Aladdin. Chevra saw Aladdin. I don't know if you saw the newer one. At least the old school one. I'm talking the one that I saw. The cartoon. You know, then I think Disney redid it. And they made like a chvestish with real people. I don't know. I don't get that whole idea. You know, cartoons are supposed to be cartoons. Then you suddenly make it with real people. And now loses the whole time. But okay, whatever. Then they have to make it into a play on Broadway, obviously. It's like step by step. Why is Aladdin? You have the genie. You don't ask the genie. You're controlling. You tell the genie what to do. Imagine that opportunity, right? Imagine that opportunity that you had a chvesnish. We had a genie, but we didn't have a genie. We have the Melech Malchei Melachim at our fingertips on Purim. Wow. It's huge. We're all thinking, what can we tell Hashem? Imagine, there's a lot we want to tell Hashem. But where's it come from? Where's that idea that I heard that Torah for the first time tonight? No more perfect time. Because I'll show this is the Mamish, the pinnacle of the Kedusha of Shabbos. And all the week, the Kedusha of the week comes from Shabbos. So all the Kedusha of Purim came from this past Shabbos. So I heard this Shal Shudis and Mamish. It's going to be a different Purim for me. And I've always loved Purim, so good stuff. But where does it come from? I want to discuss tonight where that comes from, where that energy comes from, where that incredible opportunity comes from. So there's a medrash. There's a medrash in Esther Rabbah that says as follows. I'll read you the medrash in Vav Zayin. Rab Rechya b'shem Rab Levi Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael. Rab Rechya b'shem Rab Levi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Bnei Yisrael, Atem b'chisem v'amartem. You cried and you said in Eicha, Yisoyimim hayinu ve'ein av. We're orphans without a father. We feel that way when we're in Galus. We feel that when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Chayeichem af ha-goyel shani asid lahamid lachem b'modai. Remember, Purim's after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, right? So too, the one that's going to be your redeemer in Modai, in the story of Purim, Galus Modai, lo yia lo av ve'ein. Hado d'chziv ki ein lo av ve'em. So that individual, that goyel,
Esther Hamalka, so too is going to be an orphan. Esther Hamalka is going to be an individual who has no father and no mother. Esther Hamalka is going to have no father and no mother. We all know that, right? We know she was raised by Mordecai because she didn't have parents. By the way, you were all taught, like in nursery, that Mordecai was her uncle, right? Who was taught Mordecai was her uncle? Who was taught? You don't want to raise your hands? Okay. Who still thinks that? Read the psukim. Mordecai was her cousin. Bas Dodo. Esther was the daughter of his uncle. They were first cousins, by the way. But anyway, it's Pferish in the psukim. I guess it's a little strange, a cousin. So we were taught differently. It's like we were also taught that Haman had the three-cornered hat, and that's why we eat Hamantashen. There's no source for that one either. That was getting back to Aladdin, because you think that the evil guy is like Jafar and has the three-cornered hat. So some nursery teacher made that up, but I don't believe there's any source for that either. Hamantashen is deeper, maybe for another time. Esther Malka is an orphan, but it seems from this medrash that's very significant that she was an orphan. There's reason that she was an orphan. And she's our redeemer because seemingly she was an orphan. Why is that? Why is it so important that she's an orphan? So there's one incredible Torah on Psukim and Tehillim from Yisrael Rishner. He says in Tehillim Yud Gimel, the Psukim say, Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. Until when, Hashem, are you going to forget us? Seems sometimes in our life, let's be real, every one of us. Sometimes in life it feels like Hashem forgot us. I'm going through this for so long. Whatever this fill in the blank, whether this is shiduchim, somebody who's sick, some social interaction with somebody that's been an issue in my life. It's like, and I'm davening, I've been davening for this. You know when it feels like we're back to Yom Kippur and you're davening for the same thing we've davened for the past 4 years and it's just over and over and you say, Adon Hashem tishkecheni netzach, Hashem, when you... Until when? Do you forget about me? Adana tastir es penach bimeno. Those words, tastir, right? Until when are you going to hide yourself, Hashem? So the next few words, the Rishner says is the answer. Even the Pashtus, we wouldn't read the pasuk, but the next words seems to be another question. Adana ashes etos benafshi. But he reads it as an answer. You know when? Adana ashes etos benafshi. You know until when Hashem forgets you and hides from you? You know until when? You know when He's going to stop? When your ashes eitzos benafshi, the pasuk says. When you place the eitzah, the advice, benafshi, in myself. Meaning what? So often we're looking for so many different answers. And we go, and it's important at times, and there's a balance that we need, and we go to tzaddikim to ask them for brachas, and we have our friends davening for the situation as well, and if I only could get in with this shadchan, then it's going to all be good. And when it comes from a machla, and we're trying to get in, for this situation, we need to find a better doctor. There's got to be the right doctor out there. And in Parnasa, okay, my job's not too great. I got to find a different job, a different boss, there's something out there I'm relying on. Now, it's important, by the way. Don't get me wrong. We have to put in our ishtadlis. We live in a physical world, and we're always supposed to be putting in our ishtadlis. But ultimately, ultimately, it has to be myself and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Ultimately, I have to rely on my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, my tefillos, and the Rabbeinu Shalom that's in my life. And I have to have that level of emunah bitachon that Hashem can and will do everything that I need every moment. And He's there by my side. When was Chana finally answered? Right? We learn how to daven from Chana. Read through in Shmuel Aleph. Read through the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah. When Chana is davening, she's davening for years without children. The machla of infertility. It's something very, very difficult. Very, very sad. Very, very hard. And she was davening. Like, we learn how to daven from her at that time, and we know with Eli HaKohen, we all know the story, right? You've all learned it. Was she not davening for years? Like, why suddenly? What changed? We'll open up the Navi, read the storyline. You know what changed? It's very simple what changed. Her husband, Elkanah, came read a few psukim prior to the tefillahs of Chana that brought the ultimate Yeshua. Her husband, Elkanah, says to her, Chana, I'm as good for you as 10 children. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. It's all good. Like, basically move on. Meaning what? Until that point, she was davening for children and her husband was davening for her to have children. He came to her and basically was misyayin. She gave up, right? He said, it's over. We're not going to have together children, but I'm just as good. And trying to comfort her with that, what his diagnosis of the situation. Chana, for the first time, said to herself, it's only me and the Rabbanu Shalom. There's only one I can rely on, and that's the Eibishter. There's only one. Until this point, she was also relying on her husband's tefillos. Now it's only me and the Rabbanu Shalom. And she davened in a way that she never davened before. And those were the tefillos that were answered. Those were the tefillos, and that's how we learn how to daven from Chana. All of you, the Gemara goes through so much of how we daven is from Chana. But that was the depth of it. So now we understand, Chavra. You know why Esther had to be a Yesoima? You know why the one that's going to bring the Geula of Purim was a Yesoima? The Gzeira of Purim was intense. The Medrash says it was Nechtam, it was sealed, that we were going to be killed. It was sealed already. This wasn't like up in the air. It was sealed in cement and tit. We were gone. We were being destroyed. Jewish nation, history. But we were saved. But you know who saved us? Which tefillos? Only tefillos of Yesoima. Because Yesoima, only tefillos of that orphan, which represents, not doesn't mean each and every one of us who are not orphans can't daven. Avad, we can. But the lesson is that it represents an individual who understands there's no one else there for her. It's up to her and the Rabbanu Shalom, that's it. There's only the Rabbanu Shalom can help me. I don't have a father or a mother taking care of me. I don't have the help from anybody else. I daven understanding it's all from Hashem. Those are the tefillos that are answered, Esther Amalka. And that's the one that brings Yeshua. Rak Hashem. Nothing else. That brings tefillos. Those are the ultimate tefillos. That's how we're going to come, like the Shem Yishmul says on Purim, with this mindset, with this bitachon, and say, Hashem, do this for me. Because I know it's only you. I can't rely on anybody else. There's no one else that does anything. Let's be real. If we stopped and we were emes, there's no one else that does anything for us anyways. Everyone else is only a shliach of Hashem. Everyone else is only a messenger of Hashem. Everything's from Hashem. When we think like this, not only is it a different tefillah, and then our tefillahs will be answered like an Esther Amalka, but it's such a nechama, it's such a comfort. It's such a different simchas achayim. This is the key to our happiness as well. When we know it's all Hashem, everything in my life is Hashem. He's taking care of me, He's doing for me. What am I worried about? Why am I worried? I'm worried because I don't have this yet. I'm worried because this is going on, Hashem is by my side. Hashem has my back. And I'm going to talk to Him. I have the ability to have a relationship with Hashem. I have the ability to talk to Hashem and ask Hashem to take care of me. And if you look, Medrashim after Medrashim, that focus on this fact that Esther was an orphan, when you read the Medrash in Chazayin, when all was going down and all the fear of this terrible decree, so Mordechai goes and he gets all his children, his tinokos, his students together, and they're fasting and they're in sak vefer. And Esther as well, she removes her garments. It's very intense. She removes her royal garments and she puts on sackcloth and she puts ashes on her head and she's sitting fasting. Imagine the queen. She davens to Hashem. And she says, Hashem, barasa solam, you created the world. Azar na amascha, help your maidservant.
Asher nisharti yisoyima bli av aim. You left me as an orphan without a father or mother. Umishulala niya shoelis mi baiz baiz. So I have to go and I have to ask from house to house to support me. So I'm asking you from chalon l'chalon beis achashverosh. I'm going from window to window in the house of achashverosh. You, the father of orphans, stand by the side of your orphan, me. She's focusing in her tefillas on this fact. And we see the Medrash says, Vayar Elokeinu Vayachma Amo, Hashem saw and he had mercy, Vayifen Litzar HaYisoyimo Asher Batchabo, and turned to the pain of the orphan that trusted in him. Vayiten Lochein Lefnei HaMelech, and gave her charm, gave her pain. You hear this, Chevra? We see medrash after medrash that focuses on this fact. And we as well, we have to realize we have the Ribbono Shel'Olam that runs the world. The Ribbono Shel'Olam is taking care of us. And when we appreciate and cherish that relationship, and we daven in that way, before every davening, think to myself, I'm about to daven to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, it's all up to Him. And there's nothing else that could help. Of course, again, we put in our ishtadlus. We have to put in our effort. Because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and He wants us to put in our effort, to work, to put in Amelus. But ultimately, it's all up to Him. And we believe that, and we trust that. And with that knowledge, first of all, I have a chama right away. But mamish, it's different tefillas. It's different tefillas. The Gemara tells us, that's Gemara in Megillah, Tezvav and Beis, tells us that's why Esther made this more. Why'd you have to make all these parties with Haman? You ever think about it? The storyline is a little bit strange, that part, right? Meaning, Esther obviously is davening and fasting, and ultimately her husband is the key to the success of the whole entire plot to bring down Haman. And she has to just get the courage, which, again, it was hard for her as we read through the storyline, to ask him and explain to him that what he's doing to her nation, right? But like, why'd she have to make all these parties and invite Haman party after party and drinking? Like, it's a little bit strange. Like, what is that all about? So the Gemara Megillah says, you know why she did? There's a few different ideas, but one of the Arab, Nechemia Omer, Kidei Shelo Yomru Yisro, Achos Yesh Lanu Beis HaMelech, V'yasichu Daita Min Arachim. Meaning what? She thought, all the Jews know that they have a sister in the palace. So they were all going to be dependent on her. And they're saying, we're going to be good to go. Because Esther's the queen. And she's going to save us, right? We don't have to do anything. This is all just smoke and mirrors, this plot and this decree. Because we have the queen in the palace. We're good. We could go on with our normal life. She was afraid of that. Okay, they go through the motions like we do on fast days. And maybe fast a little and daven a little bit and the same way we do when we say we're yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. When was the last time we shed a tear in one of these fast days yearning for the Beis HaMikdash? Something to think about. We'll go through the motions. Esther will take care. It says Reb Chaim Kanievsky will take care for us, right? They're davening for us. So you know why she made this party, Gemara says? The Jews will see. Wait a minute. Yes, she was one of us, but people change. Things happen. Esther now is under the rulership of Achashverosh, that's her husband. Maybe he's influenced her over time. Maybe she no longer is walking like a Yid, and she's a Persian. She's a Persian queen. She's actually throwing parties with our archenemy. She's having Haman and Achashverosh together and having like little parties. And they'll say, we can't rely on her anymore. We have to daven, we have to rely on the one, the only one. She was ensuring that they wouldn't be dependent on her, because the way to daven is to reach out to Hashem and realize it's all dependent on Hashem. The same way she was, because she was Ein La'avim. She learned this the hard way, because she grew up with no one else but Hashem by her side. She learned it the hard way. So she went and she set up these parties to teach us the same lesson. And that's the way we walk into a Purim. knowing there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu by our side, knowing Yesh Hashem in Zehu, came to me, you know, the Gematria for Purim. Purim is 336. Exactly Gematria, Yesh Hashem, Yesh Yud Kei Vavke. Right, Yesh is 310, Shin and Yud. Yud Kei Vavke is 26. There is Hashem, meaning Yesh Hashem, there is Hashem, and there's nothing else. Yesh Hashem. What are you so to think like this? Yesh Hashem, you know, Yesh. In the Kabbalistic Lashon, we talk about Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. Or Yesh Me'yesh, something from Yesh. I'm sure you've heard that before. Yesh is what exists. Yesh, there is. But it's much deeper than that. Yesh is, that's all that there is. You know what there is? Yesh Hashem. Zeu, there's nothing else. You see this, you think this is a book? Yesh Hashem. This only exists because Hashem wants it to, wills it to be here at this moment. This is Hashem. This is delicious tea, Naomi, thank you. But ultimately, this is, I appreciate you with the shliach, but ultimately, this is Hashem. I'm drinking a little of Hashem. So I said, Baruch Lashach, call me a bit bro. I understand it came from him. I didn't say Shach, call me from Naomi. Right? It's Hashem. Although I appreciate it. Yesh Hashem! These will be the next bumper stickers, you know? Thank you, Hashem. Ich weiß nicht. No, these are beautiful things. I don't mean in a light way. I think it's a beautiful... These are beautiful things in our world to bring out. But these are the type of phrases we need to be walking around with. That's beautiful. Yesh Hashem, nothing else. That's Gematria Purim. You know, there was once a couple married for many years, and unfortunately, living in Yisrael, unfortunately, not able to have children. And you could imagine the way they were davening and going to all the tzaddikim for brachas and the mekaymes kedoshim in Yisrael, davening the kaisel and marzach pela and kever rachel. They went. The husband went one day to Rav Shimshon Pinkus. I'm sure you've all learned Torah from Rav Pinkus. Such beautiful svarim on tefillah, on Shabbos, on the parsha. It's a big tzaddik who unfortunately did not live a long life. He came to Rav Pinkus and he explained this to you. Rav Pinkus said, you have to come back to me very late tonight. I mean, midnight tonight. The man thought it was very strange. Rav Pinkus asked to come back, okay. He comes back at midnight. Rav Pinkus says, come, we have to drive. And they get into a car. And they drive to the outskirts to some forest. A little forest. Rav Pinkus says, go into the forest. You don't have to go deep. I'm going to stay here. You go in and daven from the depth of your heart. For this child. And the man goes in. And about 20 minutes later, he comes back to Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus looks at him and says, yeah, I davened. No, you didn't daven yet. I could see you didn't daven yet. Daven like your life depends on these tefillahs. Daven like there's nothing else but these tefillahs. And but the Rabbi Nishalom. He went into the forest and he was there another 20, 30 minutes. He comes back. His shirt is soaked in tears. Tears still streaming down his face. Rav Pinkus saw, he says, oh, now you davened. Now it will be good to see. A year later he had a child. And Rav Pinkus was teaching him, hey, of course, there's an avodah for another time to go to tzaddikim, and they have a koyach of tefillah, and to daven for us, and to be there by our side. But Rav Pinkus was saying to him, it's not up to me, and it's not up to another tzaddik. It's up to the Rabbi Nishalom, and you have to daven in a way that you understand it's just you and the Rabbi Nishalom. And Kachavi, there was Yeshua. Kachavi, there was Yeshua. Everything's from Hashem. This is the Amunah B'Tachon we have to have. We look at the story of Esther, Amalka, and Purim, and we're everything. We all know the story. It's all hidden. But it was all Hashem at every moment. If we live that life, and those are our tefillahs, and that's our B'Tachon, first of all, life itself is so sweet. It's amazing. There's nothing that worries us. There's nothing that burdens us. But our tefillahs are different tefillahs. You know, there's a famous idea, I'm sure you all know. Even though we don't know most months, but Adar, we know that the mazel of Adar, the constellation of Adar that rules, there's a concept, it's deep. If you learn some, you may have learned some of Derech Hashem. So Derech Hashem gets deep and explains this a little bit, even though it's hard to understand this part of Derech Hashem, that the stars are actually like agents of Hashem, a shluchim to Hashem, and Hashem interacts with this world through the stars.
and uses the stars when he wants to be mashpia on the world.
You know, it's a very deep concept,
but there's a truth to it. That's why there's such a, it's something very real. Astrology, astronomy, when we read about that stigness of the Mitzrim, and Paro's astrologers were looking at the sky and saw that through the stars that there'll be, you know, the Mashiach born, Moshe Rabbeinu, and his downfall will be water. That's why they're throwing everyone in the water. They were, it was true. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's downfall? Hitting the rock and bringing forth water. There was a truth. They saw that. They didn't see it exactly how it was going to be. There's some truth in the Koichavim, in the stars. So there's a mazel of every month, the constellation of the month that affects the month. Now, it's not that the stars have power. Hashem, everything's only Hashem, but they're the Shluchim of Hashem, just like they're Malachim that are Shluchim of Hashem, right? The messengers. So one of the more famous, most of the months, I'm not sure we're so familiar with. Maybe you know your birthdays, you know? Tishrei is a famous one because it's like a scale, which makes sense because we're being judged, right? And probably the most famous is Adar. Because Adar and Purim, we see a lot of posters with this. I'm sure you've all seen, right, posters with what? Fish. Fish, Pythes, these fish, is the mazel of Adar. You ever think about why and what? Like, what's going on with fish and Adar? What is going on with fish and Adar? I'm sure some of you thought to ideas of fish, of puravu, of multiplying. We want our joy to multiply, our simcha to multiply. There's something to that, perhaps. But I saw a very deep idea from the Shvila Pinchas, Rebbe Yemayri, or Pinchas Friedim Shlita. He says an incredible idea. He says something interesting before we explain it. You know, and there's a medrashim that talk at length about Adar being fish, but I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's something to it. If you look in the Medrash, I'll read a little bit of the Medrash. It's not just that fish are important. But the Medrash says that Haman said to himself, the mazel is dogim. When he was doing his goral, his lottery, he fell out on Adar and he thought that was a good thing. First of all, because Moshe Rabbeinu died. Little did he know Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. And that the Medrash and the Gemara says. But he thought also it was good that it was fish. Why? Kishem shadogim bolin kachani boleo son. Just like fish swallow, I'm going to swallow up the Jews. Amar lo kash baruch hu rasha, dagim pamim nivloyim, pamim bolim. Sometimes they do the swallowing, and sometimes they are swallowed up by a bigger fish. Va'achshav osu ish nivla min abolim. You're going to be swallowed up. Meaning dagim was not meant to swallow the Jews, it was meant for you. Right? Similar to the tree. So, v'nahapachu. And that's the Medrash says, v'nahapachu. You're getting swallowed up. So something not just the fish, but the swallowing of the fish. Now, the constellation of Adar is not just fish. It's two fish. And they're pointed towards each other. Looking at each other. What is that all about? Listen to this, Chavrut. It's incredible. I should have. I didn't have time. I just forgot. I meant to look into this in like the secular world. And if I believe I did once read it somewhere. To be honest, but I meant before we spoke tonight, and some chaver would love to look it up. But in a Sefer Mishmeres Kuhuna, the Shvil Pinchas brings down that apparently, I don't know if any of you have gone fishing before. I've gone fishing, but I don't think I ever caught a fish like this. If you catch, let's say, a big fish, imagine you catch a fish, and there's a fish in the fish. Right? It can happen, right? Imagine you caught a fish, went for fishing for big blues, I don't know, this big fish, and you caught this big fish, and when you cut it open, that fish recently swallowed another fish. It's lunch. And it's still there. It wasn't yet consumed, it was, right? So how would you assume the fish inside should be? You would assume, if you didn't hear what we're about to say, I would have assumed at least, that the fish in the belly would be the same direction of the fish. Why? Because it's, imagine, one fish is chasing another fish, like you see in the cartoons, if you saw Finding, you know, we're talking Disney tonight, right? Finding Nemo, the fish are chasing the other fish, and you imagine, so the big fish swallowed the other fish from behind. It caught up, it's faster, it's stronger. No. It says, no, it's not how it is. If you would see a big fish with a little fish inside, the little fish would be the opposite direction. Its head going towards the tail of the big fish. Does that make any sense? Because you imagine the chase going on, it would be that it chops it from tail. Swallows it up, right? How would it chop the fish from the head? So Meresh Kuna says, we see when it comes to fish swallowing other fish, it's not dependent on effort and ishtadlus and strength and speed. It's all just Hashem placing the fish in front of the fish and here's your lunch, here's your supper. If it was based on effort and strength, it would be, you'd be swallowed by the tail. But if this is how it is, that the big fish is swallowing by the head, it's just Hashem taking care and here's your meal. Mazel v'azer dogim. You know why the mazel v'azer dogim? To teach us everything is bitachon. Everything is Hashem taking care of us the same way. And those are the two fish looking at each other, the way that one fish swallows another fish. That's the bitachon of Adar. Teaching us this bitachon. And that's the bitachon that we're supposed to be davening with, the same bitachon of an Esther, a Malka, she'ein la'ovein, who has no parents. Who's an orphan. So I have no one but Rabbeinu Shalom. This is the way we should daven every time. Like a Chana, who was married, had a husband, but the husband said, Miss Yayish will be okay without children. No. I want, and I have left. I'm not in despair. I have the Rabbeinu Shalom by my side. It's never Yish when there's a Rabbeinu Shalom who can do whatever he wants at any moment. It's all good. And he's done whatever's happened till now because he understands better than I why this is how it's supposed to be. And I believe in that. If you take the gematria, bitachon rak b'Hashem, bitachon rak b'yudke vavke. Trust just in Hashem. Bitachon rak b'Hashem is gematria 4:13. Exactly gematria, Yeshua b'yado. The salvation's in His hand. Meaning the Yeshua is up to me and my tefillos and my relationship with Hashem. Yeshua b'yado is when I bitachon rak b'Hashem like an Esther Amalka. And that's Purim. Purim gematria, Yesh Hashem. That's an Esther Amalka. And each and every one of us has to be an Esther Amalka. You're Nashim Tzikanios. You're Nashim Tzikanios. Who do you look at as Nashim Tzikanios? Who do you look at? Of course, we have the Imos, Sarah, and Rivka, and Rachel, and Leah, Vada. And they were, their tzidkus we can't even understand. And some of the storylines we know from them, Mamish, teach us a way of life. But after the Imos, who then do you look at? And we have Esther Amalka, Mamish, is your guiding light. Esther Amalka. And Esther Amalka didn't have way more burdens and way more nisyonos than any of us. Imagine what it was. We can't imagine. Imagine what it is. This young woman who's taken by this non-Jewish king and forced to be with him and forced to live with him. Imagine how she was. Imagine what that was for her. So what did she do? She says, I'm not lost. I'm not alone. I have a Rabbeinu Shalom in my life. I have a Rabbeinu Shalom in my life and I'm gonna take care and do what I can do and stand up and save the world. And save my people. And kachave. So this is who we have to be, an Esther Amalka. An Esther Amalka with that level of bitachon. And the way to get to that, you know, okay, then she's an Esther Amalka. I'm not an Esther Amalka. I'm Ploni Bas Ploni, right? I'm not Esther Amalka. How do I get to that? You know, you don't get to that, Esther. You don't get to that in that moment. You don't get to that when I'm in the nisayon, the challenge, and suddenly stuck in it, and suddenly I'm going to have such a moon and bitachon that it's all Hashem. And if you wait till then, it's a little too late to build that kesha, that relationship with Hashem. This is a very deep relationship with Hashem we're talking about tonight.
a very real relationship with Hashem, a really incredible relationship with Hashem that could get us through anything and bring the ultimate Yeshuas, as we're saying, and the biggest Simcha, and be able to walk into Purim this Thursday night and say, Hashem, do this for me. But it has to start now, not just now, we have a week to prepare, in just letting Hashem into my life. He's in my life. Opening up my life and seeing Hashem in my life. Every moment. The last time we were together, I read you something from Rav Tversky Zatzal. And we're still holding, I believe, in the Shloshim of Rav Tversky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch. And I want to read you a story from Rav Tversky. And it's a very simple story. It's a beautiful story. I've heard this from Tversky. I've heard this from others. A very beautiful story, but a very simple story. It's not a story that's going to blow you away with some grand, incredible ending that you never expected and seeing Yad Hashem in some glorious, miraculous way. We could go there. We could do that also. We've done that before. It's a very simple story. But the simplicity of the story is the godliness of the story, I believe. And it's a way of life that prepares us for the bitachon of an Esther Malka. That prepares us to live our lives like that. Live our lives ve'ein la of ve'ein. Not lo aleinu, not that we should have to be in that predicament, but learn from how to be like that. So Tversky said as follows. The following story demonstrates how simple it can be to acknowledge God's good deeds. There was a shepherd who taught the Baal Shem Tov, the mystic master, about spiritual growth. Imagine, the Baal Shem was going to learn from the shepherd. So if the Baal Shem could learn from the shepherd, I'll tell you one thing, I could learn from the shepherd. The master was on his own quest, was told of a shepherd who had achieved a higher level of spirituality than even he, the Baal Shem. Always willing to learn in advance, the master took some of his disciples and went to find the shepherd. They discovered the young man in the pasture tending his flock, and they concealed themselves to observe him without disturbing him. Soon enough, the shepherd took out his flute and said, "Great God, you created this whole world with these beautiful trees, green meadows, the flowing brook, and the white clouds and the azure sky. How can I show you my appreciation?" And with that, he took out his flute and played beautiful melodies. "This is not enough for a great God like you. I will do somersaults." And this he did, turning. Then the shepherd said, "I have played the flute. I have done somersaults. Yet I still feel I want to give God something. And all I have is this small coin." Whereupon he took the coin and he hurled it towards the sky. The Baal Shem Tov said to his disciples, "You will not see that coin fall to the ground. It is a fine gift this young man gives to God, and will give the shepherd a place in heaven." Here was a young man, a little shepherd. He didn't know anyone's watching him. A real, true relationship with Hashem. But the relationship was so real. He was appreciating. What's he appreciating? The trees, the meadows, the smallest of things in our life. It wasn't even things that were directly, there was no direct correlation for him himself. We have so much more to appreciate that we wake up and we could breathe and we could see and we could walk. It wasn't even that. It was just like the nature of the world, the beautiful world that we live in. And then he didn't just appreciate it. He had a relationship. He said, "I want to thank you, Hashem. I don't want to just thank you, but just thank you, Hashem," which is also beautiful and wonderful. "I want to do something. So I'm going to play a flute for you, Hashem." Has anyone ever here played a flute for Hashem? I don't know if you played a flute. I don't play a flute, so you have to first. But what? Have you ever somersaulted for Hashem? Jumping jacks? Throw the coin up to Hashem that we never saw again? Because when you have that relationship like this shepherd had, you could throw a coin up to Hashem and you'll never see it again. Hashem will just grab it. Hashem will, you'll see a hand come out from Shemayim and grab that coin. Like Bemis. There's a version of the story like that also, by the way, whatever it might be, where Mamish, a hand came out and grabbed the coin. But the idea is to have this type of relationship with Hashem that's so real, that's so deep, and to like live it daily, not just when I daven Shacharis and Mincha, and
but like throughout the day, just talk to Hashem and be one with Hashem. And if I have that type of relationship, then I really believe in my life always. So then in the moments when I really need him, I'm not going to be thinking, okay, which rabbi could I go to? Which tzaddik could I go to? I got to really daven now. And not just daven the way to open up our siddur and say the words, like min halev with demos, with tears, the way that man did with Rav Shimshon Pinkus the second time. And that's when it all can be answered. And that's when I could celebrate a Purim, Amish, a simcha shel Purim, because that's the simcha of Purim. The simcha of Purim is the Esther who knows I have Hashem in my life. Always. And that's the simcha each and every one of us can have. And Amir Hashem will have. So Bez Hashem is Baruch. Chevers, we prepare these last few days for the Heilige Yant of Balei Lel Tova. Let's just prepare in this simple way. By being one with Hashem, by davening to Hashem, by understanding it's all from Hashem, and living like an Esther HaMalka, and all that will be Zoyche to, all the Yeshuas in the world. Have this bitachon, one final remez that came to me, a very special remez. This bitachon can't just be on Purim, it has to be always. So if you take bitachon, the gematria of bitachon is 74. We want that bitachon not just one day a week, not just one day a year, every day. So 7 days a week you want that bitachon. 7 times 74. 7 times 74 is 518. Exactly gematria, the pasuk that we all know from Tehillim. Hashlich al Hashem Yehavcha. Throw into Hashem your burden. Hashlich al Hashem Yehavcha. Realize it's not a burden just for me alone. I have Hashem. Hashlich al Hashem Yehavcha is gematria 7 times bitachon. And that's the avod of everything we're saying here tonight. Mirat Hashem, we will have that relationship, like that shepherd, that simplistic relationship, but deepest relationship. The relationship of an Esther HaMalka. And b'zoichet to celebrate only Simcha and Bracha. B'zoichet to celebrate only Yeshua. A heilige, lichtige, freilichen Purim. A Purim where you're elevated with this relationship. Not just for that one day, but stay that way. And then we'll be Zoyche, not just to Akati Avdi Achashveshona, not just Purim, we know we don't say Hallel. One of the reasons is because it was a partial Gula. We didn't have the Beit HaMikdash yet. You build this relationship, we'll be Zoyche to Gula Shleimot, Mashiach Kenu, Bimhera Bimhera. It was a beautiful vibe.